Well, I trust you're already in Luke chapter 9. I had a talk with Mark last week, and he said, you know, you're going really fast through the book of Luke. I said, we're only on chapter 10, and it's been a year and a half. But I hope that you guys have been blessed by it. I have. All of us have a set of priorities in our life, right? And there are several common things that really tend to compete for first place in our lives. For some of us, it could be our comfort or our security. Others, it could be our parents. Or others, it could be our family or our friends. It's really no secret that most of us, from the moment we wake up, are seeking our own comfort, right? From the kind of food you had this morning, to what you chose to wear, to the kind of drive you had to work or on the way to church, you were seeking your comfort. And really, to the moment we put our head down on the pillow, we also seek security. I mean, I don't think there's anybody here who purposefully leaves their door unlocked at night. At least not now. Maybe 50 years ago. It's no secret that some of us deeply value our parents, especially when we become parents ourselves. Because then we realize exactly what they put up with. And we are very thankful. It's no secret that many of us highly value our family and our friends, those who we have shared intimately in the journey of life with. Now, all of these things we place a priority on, and understandably so, they are good things, are they not? Of course. And they all will compete for our main concern at some point in our lives, depending on the stage that we find ourselves in. And we've got to keep that in mind as we come to our text today. Because Jesus makes it very clear to three potential followers that in order to follow him, a radical reordering of our priorities is not a suggestion, it is a requirement. Now, I got to be honest, these words from Jesus are really some of the most difficult words I find in Scripture that have ever been uttered from his mouth. I mean, coming from any other man, these words would be ridiculous, not to mention cultish. These are words, if coming from just merely a man, would be somebody who has delusions of grandeur. Yet we cannot dismiss these words as such, because they are not from a mere man who thought too highly of himself. These are words from the mouth of the man who raised the dead, who gave sight to the blind, who healed the sick at a word, and who gave freedom to those who are oppressed by the devil. These are words from the man who declared that he is the only one through whom anyone comes to God, and then he backed up that declaration by his resurrection. So these words from Jesus are indeed hard, but they're clear. In order to follow Christ, you must give him and his purpose first place in your life without question. Without placing Jesus first, we actually can't even begin to follow him. We may learn much about him, for sure. We may grow in our theological understanding. But in actually following Jesus without placing him first, we're not able to move one step forward. See, Jesus, in these passages, unlike anywhere else in the Gospels, is very clear that he's not seeking fans. He doesn't really care for a big crowd. He's looking for those in the crowd who are actually going to follow him. And we see today in this example, with this interaction with three potential disciples, that if we're going to follow him, you must give him first priority over your own comfort and security, first priority over your parents, first priority over your family and friends. So we're going to unpack these together, and then we're going to wrestle with the implications for this for us today. Will you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you for this time with your people. And I want to thank you for all who have come to hear your word today. I ask that it would indeed be your word. I pray that you would put your words in my mouth and that you would help me explain clearly, and by your Spirit you would apply to our hearts to make Jesus the ultimate priority, which is his right. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So take a look there in verse 57 and 58. There we're going to see in the first instance that following Jesus involves giving him the priority over your personal comfort and security. We read in verse 57 that Jesus was journeying toward Jerusalem. This is the context of this account. Somebody in the crowd approaches him and expresses his earnest desire to follow Jesus. And he says, "Wherever you go, I will go." We find out from Matthew's account that this individual was actually a scribe. This potential disciple was a scribe. And that's important because scribes were the public teachers of the day. And up until this point in the gospel and all the way through, really, he represented a faction of the Pharisees that really stood against Jesus. Like, I mean, these guys were coming at him pretty hard. They were experts in the law. They had their own public teaching ministry. And they stood in opposition to Jesus. So it's significant when a scribe comes up to Jesus and expresses what it appears to be a very earnest desire to say, "I'm going with you wherever you go." Socially, it would have been costly. Professionally, it would have been costly for him to say that. You know, he's coming from an informed perspective. He's very clear on Jesus' credentials all the way through the Old Testament, and he's seeing this embodied in Christ. It's not a flippant and ignorant statement of his desire. And that causes us to take a step back, because the answer that Jesus gives is very surprising. It's almost as if he doesn't take the man's word for it. But I think what's happening here is that the Lord really doesn't want anybody, including this man, confused on what following him entails, so he spells it out with a very clear word picture in verse 58. You see, he says there, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man," that's his favorite self-designating term, "has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, while little creatures like foxes and birds have places to call home in this world, not Jesus. And not those who follow him. If you're going to follow him, the world will no longer be your home. If you're going to follow Jesus, the world will no longer be a place in which you can find yourself completely at ease. In other words, following Jesus involves putting your worldly comfort and your worldly security second. Following Jesus means following God's will, which will ultimately make us strangers and aliens in a world that seeks its own will. That is uncomfortable, and that is risky. So this morning, if you are seeking to follow Christ, you need to accept what Jesus is saying here, that it will not always be comfortable or secure. Actually, I can tell you from experience that the times I find myself most faithful to the person and purpose of Jesus is when I am most uncomfortable and totally not secure. That's the time where you, quote unquote, step out of the boat and realize, wow, Jesus better catch me on this, or I'm sinking. This is an easy concept to understand, but it is very hard to take in. I mean, unfortunately, our desire for comfort and security in this world is a massive obstacle to following Christ, isn't it? I mean, our entire culture revolves around a demand for what? Comfort. This is what is pushed on you every day through marketing. Absolutely everything. Comfort is primary. And pursuing Jesus and his purpose will seem fine to many as long as it doesn't involve getting up early to do it. Or as long as you can continue to be accepted at work or thought well of by your peers or keep your boyfriend or girlfriend. or be comfortable in your school. It's okay to follow Jesus as long as those things are in place. Yet Christ is clear that to follow Him and His purpose, your comfort and security in this world must take second place. There's a great example of what this looks like in the New Testament. I was just reading this the other day in Acts chapter 16. A great example of what it looks like to follow Christ at the cost of personal comfort comes right out of the example we see in a young man named Timothy. As you know, Timothy was a companion of the Apostle Paul. He was a young man, and in order to aid in the ministry with the Apostle Paul, because they were ministering to Jews, Timothy had a mixed background, Jew and Gentile. In order to make sure that there wasn't any stumbling block to them advancing in the local synagogues, Timothy, probably around the age of 20 or so, went and got circumcised. That was not comfortable. Or, by the way, in a time with very little local anesthetics other than just alcohol, that was a bit risky. When my son was circumcised, and we've got all our medical advancements today, I had to read through a laundry list of things that could potentially go wrong with his circumcision, including death. I kind of pulled back a bit. I'm like, gee, I didn't realize this was such a big issue. And then I started studying circumcision in the Old Testament. I'm like, wow, these guys, yeah, they were good at it, but it was risky, especially as you got older. This is a great example of what it means to put the kingdom of God first, the person and purpose of Jesus first, over one's personal comfort and security. So this morning, my dear brother and sister, you've got to ask yourself this question and answer it honestly before God. Are you choosing comfort and security in your life over following Jesus? You can ask it this way: where is my desire for comfort and security hindering my trust in Christ, hindering my obedience to Christ, and hindering my partnership with Christ in advancing His kingdom? You know, we see this all over Scripture, right? We see this principle all over Scripture. Nowhere in the Bible will you find somebody following God while seeking first their comfort and security in this world. Abraham followed God into a foreign country that was rife with danger. Isaac followed God through the antagonism and aggression of the surrounding peoples. Jacob followed God into a face-to-face reunion with his estranged brother, who could have taken his life. Just like that. Joseph followed God through years of slavery and prison. David followed God while having his life threatened by his deranged uncle. Elijah followed God through emotional burnout and a broken spirit at the antagonism of an exceptionally evil woman. And we could go on and on and on. Nobody who's following God is putting their comfort and security in this world first. Following Jesus must be our first priority. And now, after that humdinger, he adds another thing. He says that in order to follow him, he needs to be the priority over probably the strongest bond that people actually can share with each other on the face of the planet. That is parent to child. Now, I know that not all of us have a great relationship with our parents, but I can tell you this, that relationship, mom, dad, son, daughter, that is the relationship that carries the capacity for the most good or the most harm in somebody's life. Look at verse 59. Here we see Jesus requires giving him priority even over your own parents. So now, to flip the script a bit, Jesus, instead of getting approached by somebody, he calls somebody in the crowd. He says, "You, follow me." And this man makes what it appears to be a reasonable request at first glance. He says, "Well, let me attend to my father's burial first." Now, this is an interesting and a bit of a debatable passage, because we're not told if the man's father had died or yet he was going to die. But I submit to you, his dad didn't die yet, and here's the reason why. Because if his dad had already died, he would already be preoccupied with the funeral arrangements. He wouldn't be following with the Jesus crowd. It was a big thing in that day. So his dad is close to death, and his request is basically, okay, my dad's close to dying, I've got to attend to his funeral arrangements, so I can't come with you right now. Now, for this man to get up and go with Jesus at that moment in that culture when his dad was on death's door would have been completely scandalous. You see, in that culture, providing a proper burial for your parents was considered one of the highest priorities, even over religious duty, in an incredibly religious culture. If he would have left, it would have been considered a disregard for his duty to his parents and completely dishonorable. And do we not understand this even today? I mean, would you go on a long trip, on a missions trip, if your parent was about to walk into the next life? Probably not, right? So put yourself in the man's position, and if it wasn't enough to deny his request, look how Jesus denies it. Look there in verse 60, Jesus said, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead." This sounds a little harsh. How do we even make sense of this? He's playing on the word dead here in verse 60. We could rephrase it in this way. Let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. You need to go and proclaim the kingdom so that the spiritually dead can live. It's essentially what he's saying. We've got to be careful here. We need to understand that Jesus is not teaching that we're to treat our parents like dirt. Not at all, because that would contradict his own life, in which he honored his mom and dad quite well, and it would contradict his own teachings about love for parents. But the strong point that he's making to us is this: following him and his purpose must come both immediately and before even very good and noble things like attending to your own dad's funeral. Wow. I tried to get around the force of this because I thought, no, this has got to be, this is forceful. But this is what's happening in this text. Jesus is saying, I'm first priority over this. Even though this is a good priority and you've got the right notion, your priority is still wrong. Whoa. You see, you and I are to seek Christ's purpose, which is his kingdom first, even over good and precious things like parents. This means that you and I are to seek to believe the gospel first, live in obedience to Christ first, and advance the gospel of Christ over all. So you and I have to ask ourselves again the uncomfortable question this morning: are we placing our allegiance to our parents over Jesus? Now, I know in Western culture, that's not that hard of a question to answer, because I am painting a broad brush here for Westerners, but parents and Westerners, we've kind of lost some cultural currency here. I mean, I don't know if you noticed or not, but even in Ontario, they're taking mother and father out of Ontario law. Times are changing. But we still have to ask the question, because it still can be a challenge based on our individual relationship with our parents. It can also be a challenge in other cultures. And I'll give you an example of this. I had a privilege, the privilege of discipling a very bright young man back in Toronto. He was Greek. He had Greek background. And his parents had a wonderful plan for his life. And if you've seen my big fat Greek wedding, you'll kind of understand the notion of that and the circumstances that he was in. And as his parents had expressed their desire, this guy was very bright. And so they said, you know, we really hope that you will make the right decision and you will pursue a secular degree first before anything else. But this man had a very strong desire to be better equipped for the cause of Christ as he was interacting with non-believers every day. So he decided to take a year and go through extensive theological training overseas before he walked into the secular university. And as he was navigating this change with his parents reacted as if this guy started to take drugs. You're ruining your life! I don't think the kingdom of God was first in their minds. It wasn't his. And believe me when I say this, this young man was tremendously supportive and loved his parents and honored them. But in this, he understood that no, there's a different priority at work and I've got to go and do this first. You see, to follow Jesus, we've got to give him first place over comfort and security, over our allegiance to our parents. And then we come to this other major priority in our lives that Jesus demands first place over. And this is probably very palpable for a lot of Westerners, family and friends. Verse 61, we see that following Jesus requires priority even in this area. We've got another potential disciple. He expresses his desire to follow Jesus, but then he asks to first and go say goodbye to his family and friends. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? What's interesting about this account is that the request is actually based on an Old Testament precedent. We have in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elisha was requested to do the same thing before following the prophet Elijah as his successor. And Elijah at that time, as God's anointed prophet, granted Elisha to go home, have a bit of a party, say goodbye to the people, and then go on with Elijah. But here, Jesus turns it right down. And he says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Like, don't even bother trying if you don't come now. Well, what's going on here? Why would Jesus do this? Well, there's two reasons. First, the kingdom of God had entered the world through Jesus, so the time was urgent. People's lives were actually being transformed. They were coming into eternal life. Second, it was Jesus who was saying, follow me. This was not Elijah. This was the Son of the living God. There is no higher authority. What Elijah envisioned hundreds of years before, this man was standing in front of. And so Jesus answers the man with a proverb that was well known at the time. And this imagery that he uses there in verse 62 is of a person trying to guide a plow that's driven by a set of oxen in a straight line while doing this. You think I'm going to make it? It's a bit humorous, isn't it? You're not going to make it. You're not going to do any good. Actually, even trying to do that, you're going to get really hurt. You see, you and I cannot hope to follow Jesus with a divided heart or mixed up priorities. Now, our family and close friendships matter deeply, obviously, but Christ must even be the priority over them. If we are going to truly follow him, then we must fix our focus on his will and purpose. So then again comes another uncomfortable question this morning. We've got to ask ourselves, does Jesus in your life today actually have the priority over your family and your friends? This is a question that every disciple must answer. It is not a question just for full-time ministries and partners, or sorry, pastors and Christian workers. This is a question that Jesus asks every disciple, everybody who wants to follow him. This was made very tangible for me and my family as we walked through this in the last 2 years. I mean, we were presented with an opportunity to come here to Edmonton. We were very comfortable in Toronto. We had family and friends who we dearly loved, still do. And leaving them was very painful. I remember somebody once asked me, "Oh, so you came to Edmonton for a better life?" If leaving all your support structures and the people who have built into you for years, your comfort and all the work that you've done, if that's leaving for a better life, I think maybe you got your interpretation a little wrong. But the reason why we came is because we were absolutely convinced that God was summoning us, that Jesus was saying, "Follow me for my glory and your joy." And guess what? Turns out he was right. In 2 years, we've had the joy of seeing 6 people baptized, more lives transformed. Our Sunday morning attendance go from 90 to 160. Our estranged Spanish brothers and sisters come into us as one church. The kingdom of God expanding. It was worth leaving for Jesus. Now, I still love my family and friends, and my heart still aches for them, but I am thankful that Jesus summoned us because his glory and his joy is worth it. Is it not? Now, finally, for those of us who have been following Jesus for some time, we've got to ask ourselves this question. After starting well, have we begun to look back? Have we begun to look back at what we left? We can do that. We can be going real good. Yeah, this is great. Cross before me, world behind me, and all of a sudden one day we get discouraged, we start doing this. What did I leave again? What was that other priority that I missed? So we've got to ask ourselves the question, is our focus still on Christ and his kingdom, or have other priorities crept in to displace Jesus? Let me submit this. This pull will happen for the rest of your Christian life. You will always need to make a conscious choice to put Christ and his kingdom first, because there will be 1,000 other things pulling back. And one way, practically speaking, how you can tell where your focus and your priority is just simply answer these questions. Where and how do you spend your time and energy and resources? Simple question. Where and how do you spend your time, energy, and resources? Now, I know a lot of you guys work full-time, so, well, I spend a lot of time and energy and resources at work. Right, but how are you working? Who's first even in your work? Some of you are stay-at-home moms, and you're like, well, yeah, every waking hour is with these kids. A lot of my time, energy, and resources goes into them. Yes, but what's the priority in you raising your children? Are you raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord? Well, I spend a lot of my time, man, go on and on and on and on and on. I mean, who's really first in those priorities? You see, our priorities on the stuff that will end up in the dump eventually? Or is it on Jesus and his purposes which last into eternity? And if you're a saint, that means that everything that you do actually has eternal consequences. Everything you touch has eternal consequences. Everything you say has eternal consequences. Wow, what an epic life you've been involved in. You follow the eternal God. You see, following Jesus doesn't mean that we've got to follow him across the world for it to be costly. It's just following him in the daily routines of life, where we seek his rule and righteousness in our homes, in our social spheres, our work, and our leisure. I was talking to a friend the other day, and this individual was very excited about going overseas to reach the lost. And it was really kind of funny, because in our conversation, she's talking about all the lost people around her in her profession. And I love her. She's my sister in the Lord. And I just asked, I said, well, one of the ways in which you can actually seek the kingdom of God first is start praying for your coworkers. This is a highly intelligent woman. And she looked at me like, I never thought of that. I don't know why this happens to us. We always think like the mission's out there. Man, throw a stone, you'll hit an unbeliever. Don't do that. Be a bad witness for Jesus. But you know what I'm saying? We've got to have a mind on the King and his kingdom in all things. That's what it means to follow Jesus. A mind on the King and the kingdom in all spheres of our lives. So the Lord requires that we put him first over our comfort, security, parents, family, and friends to follow him. Now this should lead us to a question. How can Jesus demand such total commitment and top priority? I mean, come on. Who do you think you are? He demands first place because he's already in first place. He's not telling us to make him something he's not. He's telling us to recognize who he is in the position he already occupies. He's just saying, open your eyes and see me for who I really am. Take a look over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. This is wonderful, Colossians chapter 1. How the Apostle Paul puts it. Some of you have this memorized, but it helps to repeat it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. I'll wait till you get there. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. He might be first. Jesus is already first. So he can demand total commitment and top priority because that's actually who he is. But then there's another side of this, guys, which should be really encouraging. He demands total commitment from you because he has already demonstrated his total commitment to you. He's made you the priority. You see, Jesus is really the only person, and I emphasize person here, because sometimes we get confused with Jesus as an idea. No. He's the only person who fully and truly knows you. Not your wife, not your mom, not your best friend. He knows all the stuff that you would never say to your best friend because you know you would lose them. He knows all of that, and he still fully loves us. He knew about your sin and your sin today, and instead of condemning you for it, he dies in your place so that you can be reconciled to God. You see, we've got to think about this not as a cost for discipleship. We've got to think of it this way. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus demonstrates that he is the only source of eternal joy, of eternal peace, and eternal life. And if that is true, what could possibly take greater priority in this mortal life than following him? His life, death, and resurrection show that there is no other source of eternal joy, eternal peace, and eternal life. And so what else could possibly supplant him as a priority? It doesn't make any sense to do so. Unfortunately, we do it often. You see, but we've got to see it this way. It's really not the cost of discipleship that we're looking at today. What we're actually looking at today is the cost of not following Jesus. You got to flip the script. Jesus is really not saying, hey, it's going to cost you to follow me. It's actually going to cost you not. Let me explain it this way. You may seek comfort and security in this world, but can you ever guarantee it? No, you can't. Yet Jesus guarantees your comfort and security even in death. So why on earth would you give priority to temporary conditions of comfort and security? You may have wonderful parents, that's wonderful, but they're not perfect. And if you think they're perfect, just wait a little longer. Jesus unites you to his heavenly Father who is perfect. Why wouldn't you give priority to the Father who knows every hair on your head and loves you to plan his Son's death in your place so that you could be reconciled to him? You may have loving, wonderful, and supportive family and great friends. Jesus is a better one. And then he gives you an expanded eternal family that crosses all cultures that you will be with in glory forever. Why would you not look forward to glory? You see, Jesus demands we get our priorities straight, ultimately, for our good. He wants our priorities straight, ultimately, for our good. And the priority that is straight is putting him first. This is what happens, guys. The moment you place any other good thing over Jesus, number one, you are not headed for towards eternal life. Number two, what you've done is you've bowed down to a functional Savior, a false God that you're putting your hope and your security and trust in, and eventually it will fail you. Don't do that. Don't get your priorities mixed up. If you're blessed with wonderful parents, if you've got a great comfortable life and house and security and your finances, that's wonderful. Good. But please don't make that first. If you're going to be following Jesus today, that's the call. Him first. What's interesting, and I'll close here, about this account is that Luke doesn't actually record the outcome of any of these encounters. He doesn't tell us how these guys responded. And I think that's brilliant of him, literarily speaking, because he leaves it open-ended that we might consider these questions for ourselves. So in closing, let me ask you the questions again. Are you willing to give Jesus and his purpose priority over your comfort and security? Are you willing to give Jesus priority over your parents? Are you willing to give Jesus priority over your family and friends? If you're truly desiring to be a follower, you must answer yes to those questions. It's not maybe. It's yes. And you go. And here's the incredible thing. As you go, you will find him not only faithful, but you will find him the most satisfying person and purpose to pursue.